أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام. May Allah increase our reward and your reward on account of our grief and on account of our commemoration for the tragedy of Karbala. It is the day of Arba'een, and it is the day of the ziyarah of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Today, we mostly want to recount the musiba of the family of Imam al-Husayn as they return from Sham to Karbala, and then from Karbala to the city of Medina. But before I recount the musiba, I want to share a hadith of the fourth Imam with you. There is a hadith of the 11th Imam where the 11th Imam says, "Alamatul mu'min khams." The signs of a believer are five. And the first sign that he mentions is ziyaratul arba'een, the ziyarah of Imam Hussein on the day of Arba'een. There is another hadith like that from the fourth Imam. He also says, "Alamatul mu'min khamsa." The signs of a believer are five. Now, this hadith is important for us because it is giving us indicators of iman. You know, Arba'een is important in Islam because the number 40 signifies reaching a certain maturity. For example, when a person reaches the age of 40, they say that he has reached a certain maturity now. So today is the day of Arba'een. Then certain things within us should also have reached a level of maturity. And one of those things that's important that should reach a certain level of maturity is iman. For 40 days we have been attending majalis. For 50 days we have been attending majalis. We have been doing aza for the imam. We have been doing ma'tam for the imam. So now we want to know if our iman has increased or it hasn't increased. And how do we know that our iman has increased? Inshallah, everyone who comes for the majlis, his iman increases. Okay? So Imam alayhi salam is now going to give us the indicators of iman. And he says there are five indicators of iman. One thing we have to remember is that not everything we know we believe. There are some things that we know, but we don't believe in them. There are some things that we know, but we don't live our life according to those things. The things that we believe, we live our life according to it. In life, we make decisions according to it. Okay? One of the scholars in Iran, Ustad Abidini, very respected scholar, he says, when I was young, I went to meet Ayatollah Bahjat. I used to walk behind him. And one day Ayatollah Bahjat went into the haram of Lady Fatima Ma'suma. He was seated there. And he was doing his ibadah and he was doing his ziyarah. and I was sitting behind him. So I saw an opportunity there, and I say to him, Atila Bahjat, why is it that some of us struggle to wake up for Salatul Layl? We struggle to wake up for the night prayer. He says, Ayatullah Bahjat looked at me with so much anger. Now, I'll explain why. He says, Ayatullah Bahjat looked at me with so much anger that I lost all of the energy in my body. I wanted to stand up and walk away from there, but I couldn't even stand up and walk away from there. Now, Ayatullah Bahjat used to love him a lot. He was one of the students of Ayatullah Bahjat. So then Ayatullah Bahjat said to me, he says, that okay, do one thing. Keep a bowl of raisins next to you so that when you wake up, you can eat from that bowl of raisins. He says, I understood two things from it. Now these two things are important. The first thing I understood from it is that Ayatullah Bahjat was showing me what I believe and what I don't believe. He said, you have heard so many ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt about waking up for the night prayer. Clearly, you don't believe in them. Because if you had believed in them, then what would happen? You would wake up for the night prayer. So he says, Atla Bahjat was showing me, what do I believe in? He showed me that I believe in a bowl of raisins more than I believe in the promises of the Ahlul Bayt in the hadith. So he said, at least you believe in this bowl of raisins. You'll wake up for this bowl of raisins and inshallah you'll say your Salatul Layl as well. See, there was a second message in it as well. What was the second message? He said, it was inconceivable for Ayatullah Bahjat that Imam alayhi salam would say something and the Shia would say, let me think about it. That Imam would command something and there would be a lag between the command of the Imam and the action of the Shia. For him, that was unthinkable. When Imam says something, for him it was kun fayakun. So it has to be done. Right? And he gives an example. He says, look, we all believe that we have walaya, we have authority over our hand, correct? So what does it mean to have authority over your hand? It means that when you tell your hand, come up, the hand comes up. Have you ever had a situation where you tell your hand to come up and the hand says, let me think about it? Never. Walaya, authority means what? The moment you think it, the hand comes up. So now we believe in the walaya of the Ahlul Bayt. So where is that walaya of the Ahlul Bayt? The Imam says, and we say, let me think about it. Maybe not today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe Allah will give us tawfiq tomorrow to do it. For Ayatullah Bahjat, that was inconceivable. Okay. So the hadith of the Imam says, Alamatul Mu'min Khams, the signs of a believer are five. Imam alayhi salam wants to give us the indicators of Iman. And these are indicators that we can use for ourselves. These are indicators by which we can judge our iman. These are not indicators for us to judge the iman of other people. Okay. The first one, inshallah, we'll comment on the first two. And if God will, some other day, then we can go over the rest of the three as well. The first one the Imam mentions is al-wara'u fil khalwa. It is to have wara, it is to have taqwa when you are alone. Wara is a higher level of taqwa. Wara means to have precaution. Wara means that if you are not sure whether something is permissible or not permissible, you stay away from it. Am I allowed to say this about a mu'min or am I not allowed to say this about a mu'min? You stay away from saying those things. Imam alayhi salam says, this is one of the indicators of Iman. You will notice in life that our behavior is different depending on who is around us. You know how important a person is to you depending on your behavior around that person. Yeah? For example, we behave in a particular way when our colleagues are around us. We behave in a different way when, for example, the supervisor at work is around us. Imam alayhi salam is telling us that if you really want to know how important Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you, if you want to know what you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the things that we say in dua, we say many things in dua, inshallah those things are true, but if you really want to know how you think of God, do you think that He is everywhere? Do you think that He knows everything? Do you think that He has power over everything? Imam alayhi salam says, look at how you behave when nobody else is watching you, when only God is looking at you. For example, when you are alone, do you say your prayer on time or do you delay your prayer? When you are alone, do you recite the Quran during the day? You don't recite the Quran during the day. When you are alone with your phone, what do you do with your phone? That's going to tell you how important Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When you don't have to impress anybody, you know, sometimes in the community, some people may not be important in our eyes. We don't know. They may be very important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we don't have to impress that person. We don't feel like we have to impress that person. So now when that person calls you, what do you do with that phone call? That will tell you how important Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you. The second one the Imam mentions was sadaqatu fil qillah, and to be able to give sadaqah when yourself you have very little. Okay. Now before I go into this discussion, one thing I want to point out is that there are certain things which are wajib upon us and there are certain things which are mustahab upon us. Taking care of our family for the brothers is not mustahab. Taking care of our family is wajib. So we cannot take away from the rights of our family to give in sadaqah. First, we have to make sure we have taken care of our family. In the way that's the norm. Not too extravagant, but in the way that is appropriate for them. But sometimes what happens is that we have a little bit extra. A little bit of luxury. We're saving up for a little bit of luxury. Yeah. And then somebody comes and says that this year, this month, I cannot meet my rent. Can you spare $200-$300 for me? Imam alayhi salam says that is a sign of iman if you can give to that person. Now, how is this a sign of iman? That I'm able to give when myself I have very little. Okay. I was telling some of the brothers that one thing you can learn a lot is from how children interact with parents. It will tell you so much about your interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you think about it, for children when they are growing up, when children are 3, 4, 5 years of age, they don't have the concept of God still. For them, all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are found where? In the parent. You ask the child, who brought you in this world? Say, mother brought me in this world. You ask the child, who provides you your rizq? The child will say, mother provides me my rizq. You ask the child, who is the one who protects you? The child will say, my mother is the one who protects me. Ask the child, who guides you and teaches you? Subhanallah. The first time the child is going to see the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the mother and the father. And the way they think of the mother and the father, that's how they are also later on in life going to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If parents are merciful, God is merciful. If parents are wise, God is wise. If parents are forgiving, God is forgiving. Right? It's so important the way we present ourselves to our children. So for a child, the parent is the caretaker. The parent is the Rabb. The parent is the Lord. Haven't you noticed a child when they are in the supermarket and suddenly they get lost and they get scared? And the moment they realize that my parent is behind me, the heart comes to rest. Can you imagine if we lived life like that? Wherever we are, we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over us. Now, look at this example. And we're slowly, now quickly coming towards musibah. But, you know, sometimes as a parent, on Friday, you give $10 to your children, right at the entrance of the mosque. And you say, take the $10 and put it into sadaqah. So the child takes the money from you and puts it immediately into the sadaqah box. Now you come to that child and you say, why did you put it in the sadaqah box? You could have used it for yourself. You might need it to buy something. Yes? You tell the child, for example, you don't know if tomorrow you're going to get $10. The child is not worried at all. The child will say, what do you mean? The one who gave me $10 has $10,000. The money they gave me is not my money, it's their money. Whenever I needed money, they always provided for me. Yesterday they gave, the day before they gave. All the way to the beginning of my life, they gave. Why should I be worried about putting $10 when they have told me to put $10? Is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that? That why do we worry? The one who gave us the money that we have has a lot more. It is his money. It's not my money. He's the one who's told me to give it. And he's given me from the beginning of my life. One day Luqman saw his son was worried. He said to his son, why are you worried? He said, I'm worried about tomorrow's risk. What's going to happen? He said, my dear son, when you were in the womb of your mother, did your risk come to you or not? He said, it came to me. When you came into this world and you didn't even know how to eat food, you didn't have teeth to eat, did your risk come to you or not? He said, it came to you. As you were growing up, you did not know how to earn for yourself. Did your risk come to you or not? Now you became 21, 22 years of age. Now you're worried about your risk. So we have to have that relationship that like a child has with the mother. Imam, the fourth Imam says, one of the indicators of Iman, as-sadaqatu fil-qillah or indal-qillah, is that you're able to give charity when yourself you have very little. The last three I'll just share with you. Imam alayhi salam says, was-sabru indal-musibah. The third indicator of Iman is that you can have patience when you face hardship and calamities. The fourth one, وَالْحِلْمُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ, and you have forbearance when you become angry. Now this requires a little bit of explanation. Today we won't be able to explain it. And the last one, he says, وَالصِّدْقُ عِنْدَ الْخَوْفِ, the fifth indicator of Iman is that you're able to speak the truth even when you are afraid to speak the truth. You know you're going to lose something by speaking the truth, but you still have the ability to speak the truth because your iman is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. It is the day of Arba'een. And this afternoon, I know many hearts wanted to be in Karbala. I know many hearts wanted to be Bainul Haramain. I know many hearts wanted to join with the millions who have come for the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein. This year, we didn't have the tawfiq to take our bodies to Karbala, but let us try right now to take our hearts and our souls to Karbala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. يا أبا عبد الله يا حسين بن علي أيها الشهيد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها اشفع لنا. One more time. يا وجيها عند الله اشفع. Today the first Zair of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein reaches the land of Karbala. And this is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the companion of Rasulullah. And he goes to the river of Furat and he performs ghusl in the river of Furat. And then he starts walking towards the grave of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Maybe he recognized the fragrance of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Or maybe Atiyah helped him because he was blind by that time. And when he reached the grave of the Imam, he threw his body onto the grave of the Imam. And he called out three times and he said, Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. And Jabir falls unconscious on the grave. When Jabir comes back to consciousness, he talks to the Imam and he says, O Imam, Habibul la yujibu Habiba. Today the Habib is not answering his Habib. And then he says to the Imam, but how can you answer me when your head has been separated from your body? Jabir recites the ziyarah of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And then he says that we have joined you, O Imam, in your struggle on which you embarked. Atiyah says to Jabir, O Jabir, how can you say that you have joined in their struggle? When you have not gone up a mountain, you have not come down a valley, nor have you hit with your sword, nor have you hurled an arrow or a spear. Whereas the people whom you are talking about, their heads were separated from their bodies, their children were orphaned, their women were taken as prisoners from Karbala to Sham. And Jabir says to Atiyah, O Atiyah, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ حَبِيبِي. I have heard my beloved, the Prophet of Allah, saying, whoever loves a people, he will be raised on the day of judgment with them. And whoever loves the action of a people, then he will be rewarded for their action as well. That was the 20th day of Safar. It is also narrated in Al-Luhuf that on the 20th day of Safar, the caravan of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein enters the plains of Karbala. The family of Imam al-Hussein enters the plains of Karbala. I don't know how they would have left Sham and how they would have left Damascus, how they would have left a young daughter of Imam Hussein in Sham. Maybe they came to her grave at that time. And they said, O daughter of Hussein, you used to ask, when are we going back to Medina? And now we are going back to Medina, but you are not coming with us. They enter the plains of Karbala, and they meet with Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, and they do buka, and they lament, and they do aza for Imam Hussein together. Can you imagine how they would have cried? Should they cry over the grave of Aba Abdullah? Should they cry over Ali ibn al-Akbar? Should they cry over Qasim ibn al-Hasan? Or should they cry over that grave that is buried near Furat? The grave of Abbas ibn Ali. It is said on the 20th day of Safar, the head of Imam al-Husayn was brought back to the land of Karbala. And it was buried with Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. After a few days, they leave the land of Karbala and now return to the city of Medina. When they reach the outskirts of Medina, Imam al-Sajjad says to Bashir ibn Jadlam, he says, "Oh Bashir, we are going to camp over here. And you announce to the people of Medina that the family of al-Husayn has returned." He says to him, "Oh Bashir, your father was a sha'ir, your father was a poet. Do you also know any poetry?" And Bashir says, "I can also recite poetry." So Bashir enters the city of Medina. And he says, "I went to the haram of Rasulullah. I stood at the gate of the masjid of the Prophet. And I called out to the people of Medina. And I say to them, Ya ahla Yathrib la muqama lakum biha. قتل الحسين فدمعي مدرارا." O people of Yathrib, it is no longer a place for you to stay. Al-Husayn has been martyred and the tears are flowing from my eyes. الجسم منه بكربلا مدرج والرأس منه على القناة يدار. His body was left on the plains of Karbala. And his head was taken on top of a spear from town to town and from city to city. The people of Medina came out. They came to give condolence to Imam al-Sajjad. They wore black clothes. They came out with tears and grief. They came out to do aza with Imam al-Sajjad. They could not stop crying in the presence of the Imam. They gave condolences to the Imam. They gave apologies to the Imam. Until the Imam asked them to be silent. And the Imam addressed them. And he said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Maliki Yawm al-Din. He said, Ayyuhal Qawm, O people. Inna Allaha wa lahu alhamd. Allah may be praised upon him. Ibtalana bimasaibin janila. Allah has tested us with trials and difficulties. وَثُلْمَةٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ عَظِيمًا. And a hole in Islam, which is such a great hole in Islam. Then the Imam said, قُتِلَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Al-Husayn has been martyred. وَعِتْرَتُهُ. And his family were martyred. وَسُبِيَ نِسَاؤُهُ وَسَبِيَّتُهُ. And his women and his daughters were taken as prisoners from Karbala to Sham. وَدَارُوا بِرَأَسِهِ فِي الْبَلَدَانِ مِنْ فَوْقِ عَامِلِ السِّنَانِ. And they took his head on the spear from land to land. وَهَذِهِ الرَّزِيَّةِ الَّتِي لَا مِثْلُهَا رَزِيَّةِ. And this is a calamity like which there is no other calamity. After a while, the family of Imam al-Husayn, they entered into the city of Medina. How the women entered the city of Medina, they would have remembered the day when they left the city of Medina. They would have remembered the men were with them. They would have remembered the children, the young men were with them. Umm Kulthum said, when she entered the city of Medina, she said, Medina tu jaddina la taqbalina. O city of our grandfather, do not accept us. Fabil ahsani wal hasarati jina.
For we have come with grief and tears. When we came out of the city, the men folk were with us. رجعنا لا رجال ولا بنينا. We have come back. The men are not with us. Our family members, the men folk, are not with us. They said Zainab alayha salam. She came to the grave of the Holy Prophet. She came to the mosque of the Holy Prophet. She held on to the door of the masjid. And she called out to her grandfather. And she said, Ya Jadda, oh my dear grandfather, I lament for you, Al-Husayn. I inform you of the passing away of Al-Husayn. It is also narrated, when Bashir entered the city of Medina, he says, as I was going to the city of Medina, I came across an elderly lady. This elderly lady was Ummul Baneen. He says, when Ummul Baneen saw me, she said to me, Oh Bashir, tell me what has happened to my son. And maybe Bashir did not understand. He said, Oh Ummul Baneen, your Abbas has been martyred in Karbala. He said, Ummul Baneen said to me, I'm asking you, tell me what has happened to my son. He said to her, I tell you, your other sons have been martyred in Karbala. She said to him, Oh Bashir, I am asking you what has happened to my Hussein. Tell me what has happened to Aba Abdullah. Bashir says, Hussein has been martyred in Karbala. She broke down into tears. And she cried for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. But then later she would remember Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And today we should also remember Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. The women and children remembered him in the journey from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham. And she used to say, لا تدعوني ويك أم البنين. Do not call me أم البنين anymore. For that reminds me of the lions I lost in Karbala. And she says, Oh Abbas, tell me, I heard that when you fell on the plains of Karbala, your hands were severed from you. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our tears and our aza for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us the tawfiq to go for the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein on the day of Arba'een. Oh Allah, do not deprive us of the shafa'ah of Imam al-Hussein in the hereafter. Oh Allah, do not deprive us of the neighborhood and the vicinity of Imam al-Hussein in the hereafter. Oh Allah, we ask you to increase us in our iman. Oh Allah, we ask us to purify us in our akhlaq. Oh Allah, we ask you to increase us in our tawfiq to perform amal salih. Oh Allah, we ask you for those who are sick and those who are in the hospitals. Oh Allah, grant them all a complete and a quick recovery. Oh Allah, we ask you for those who are suffering from hardships and difficulties. Ya Allah, alleviate their hardships and their difficulties and bring sakina and peace into their hearts and into their lives. Oh Allah, we ask you for all those who have held majalis for Imam Hussein, those who have put efforts in holding majalis for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, for commemorating the majalis of the Imam. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept all of their efforts. And oh Allah, we ask you to give them the best of the rewards in this world. And oh Allah, we ask you to increase them in their tawfiqat. Oh Allah, we ask you for those who are suffering from tyranny and oppression. Oh Allah, remove the tyranny and the oppression from their lands. And oh Allah, we ask you to return their freedom and their nobility back to them. And oh Allah, we ask you to hasten the reappearance of the 12th Imam and make us amongst the closest helpers of the Imam. Ya Hussein.